Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Hebrews chapter 11. If you were here last week, you know that we jumped into the book of Hebrews as we are continuing in our series through the Bible titled, The Bible, A True Story. And last week I talked about the fact that I've actually preached 127 messages so far in this series, which in a few weeks will be 2.5 years of messages, okay, through this series through the Bible. We've actually been in this series for 4 years. But I also told you that we were probably about 3, maybe 4 months away from wrapping up this series, depending on how much time God had me spend in each of the remaining books or chapters or verses or whatever where God led me to. And I think it's going to be a little longer than I thought, okay? because I felt the Lord this week leading me to do another series within a series, right? We've done these a couple times already, as we did a series within a series titled Feeding the Dogs, as we talked about the fruit of the Spirit back in Galatians. And then in Ephesians, we did a little series simply called The Armor of God, as we took a closer look at the armor of God that God's given us in these spiritual battles that we face in this world. As we head into Hebrews chapter 11, we find a whole chapter dedicated to the men and women of God throughout the Scriptures that were known for their faith. And so we're going to take some time to look at some of the people from Hebrews 11 that the author here talks about regarding faith, and maybe get a little reminder, a little refresher of some of the people that we actually talked about years ago when we first started our series. And because chapter 11 talks about these amazing people of faith, I titled this series within a series simply, Faith Is... right? And we're going to talk about what faith is, because as we look at these amazing men and women here in the Scriptures, we discover that faith can play out in our lives in so many different ways. It can look different to different people and how we play that out. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to take our first look at what faith is, as we're going to read Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. This is what it says. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And we're going to stop there this morning. Now, we see here in verse 1, that faith and hope, they go hand in hand. And both faith and hope in the eyes of the Lord is the assurance of what has not yet happened, or the assurance of what we cannot physically see. And the author here wants us to understand the importance of this kind of faith. A faith that is so confident and so sure that it causes us to live life differently. And then the author wants us to understand the importance of this kind of faith. And he goes to share about these amazing men and women who lived life differently because of their faith. And if we were to read on throughout the rest of Hebrews 11, we would see that the author talks about people like Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, and so on and so on. And throughout our series, we're going to look at many of these people that are mentioned here throughout chapter 11. But this morning, we're going to look at the first two that the author mentions. And these first two are very interesting to me, right? Because to be honest, they aren't the first two people that come to mind when I think of faith, right? As a matter of fact, if you were to ask me to put together a list of 30 to 40 people from the Old Testament that would be known for their faith, I don't know that I would have had Abel or Enoch on that list. And maybe that's just because there are stories in the Bible that are so brief, right? When it comes to the amount of verses that are actually talked about them, there's not that many. Abel made one sacrifice, and then he was beaten to death by his brother Cain. Enoch walked with God and then was taken by God to heaven. In the book of Genesis, these two men, they take up a grand total of less than 10 verses. Now, in contrast, you have someone like Noah, who we'll probably talk about next week. He had 4 chapters written about him. Abraham, 14 chapters were written about him. Moses, 4 entire books about Moses. And so the question we have to ask is, why were Abel and Enoch considered to be such men of faith? Why would God have had the author kick off his hall of faith with these two men? Why not just jump to those heroes that we all know of, right? And skip the obscure kind of footnote people here in Bible history. Now, this is a question that I have processed at times over the years, and one of the reasons that I think God made sure that their names were there is because Abel and Enoch are more relatable to the average Joe like myself. They're more relatable to people like us, right? You see, it's hard for many of us to truly relate to people like Noah, Abraham, or Moses, right? They were these great men who did great things that really changed the course of humanity, changed the course of the world. They were amazing men who had an impact on the whole world as we know it. And to relate to people like them, people that seem like superheroes, may seem a little bit difficult, right? I mean, that was Moses, man. He was like, you know, how do you expect me to stand up to that standard, right? And so I wonder if God here used Abel and Enoch as his first examples because they were average, ordinary people who weren't known for changing the world. Instead, what made them unique was that they simply focused on pleasing God. In verse 6, it tells us, it is impossible to please God without faith. And so the main point I want to focus on in regards to Abel and Enoch this morning in our Faith Is series is this. Faith is living a life that pleases God. Living a life that pleases God. That's faith. When you look at both of these men, the thing we realize is they both did things that were pleasing to God. Both of them simply sought to live their lives in a way that brought glory and honor to the Lord. Now, they didn't build an ark, right? They didn't become the father of all nations. They didn't get the Israelites out of Egypt, but they did what God desired them to do. They lived their lives in a way that was pleasing to Him. And so I want to take a moment to look at each of them separately and look at how it is that they pleased God. And so let's first look at this short-lived life of Abel. For those of you who aren't familiar with who Abel is, he is one of Adam and Eve's sons, right? After Adam and Eve had been banished from the garden, they then began to have children, and their first was Cain, and their second was Abel. And in verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did." Now, many people wonder and even argue over why God liked Abel's offering and not Cain's offering. But I think Eugene Peterson brings a compelling answer here in his interpretation of this scripture in the Message. And so I want to read to you this scripture, verse 4 from the Message. It says this, "By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference." You see, the difference had to do with his belief. It had to do with his faith. Cain wasn't rejected because of his offering. The offering was a beautiful offering, but that's not what was rejected. He was rejected because of his heart behind the offering. He wasn't bringing the offering to the Lord out of love or with a heart to please God. He was simply doing what he had to do, right? Going through the motions, doing it out of obligation. And God isn't interested in routines and rituals, right? God isn't interested in religion. God desires relationship. He doesn't want us to worship him because we have to. He wants us to desire to worship him. He wants us to understand how much he loves us, how much he desires relationship with us, so that then we will in turn love him and seek to have a relationship with him, seek to honor and please him. Abel's faith in God developed into a genuine love and reverence for God, which in turn translated into a beautiful and acceptable sacrifice of heartfelt worship. Now, both Cain and Abel had apparently learned the importance and practice of worship from their parents, of sacrificing. But as far as Cain was concerned, it was just a ritual, right? It's like people that just go to church on Sundays because, oh, you got to go to church on Sundays. It was a ritual. It became a religion. It wasn't from the heart. It's what Jesus says in Matthew 15:8, when he says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." We can say a lot of things, but God isn't interested in lip service. He's interested in our hearts. And this is the kind of sacrifice and worship that Cain offered to the Lord. Heartless, ungenuine sacrifice. While Abel, on the other hand, honored God with his life. And that's one of the points I want you to understand this morning. Abel honored God with his life. That is how Abel pleased God. Because Abel understood what it meant to truly worship God. Today, our worship doesn't involve altars and animals, right? Thank goodness, right? Because as a priest, man, I'd be like cutting things up and pouring blood, and I'd be all bloody and gross most of the time. It sounds like that's all that the priests were, basically butchers. And it's like, I'm sure that they were bloody and gross half of the time. And so I'm glad that it doesn't involve altars and animals and sacrifice like it used to. But true faith still leads to a heart of sacrifice and worship that pleases God. And the thing we have to understand is that worship is more than just showing up on a Sunday morning, singing a few songs and saying a prayer. Worship is a lifestyle. Paul tells us in Romans 12:1, to offer our bodies, or offer your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Instead of the dead animals that Abel offered, God wants us to put ourselves on the altar, to give our whole lives to Him as an offering. Here I am, Lord, take me, use me, I give you my life. This is what Abel did, and this is why he was known as a man of faith. It's why God was pleased with his offering. And then we see here in these scriptures a man named Enoch. And so let's take a look at Enoch. If you want to flip with me to Genesis 5, you can, or we're going to put it up on the screen. But we're going to read Genesis 5, 21 through 24. This is the account of Enoch's life. It says this: when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Can you imagine if we lived that long today? Verse 24, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. And the key phrase I want to look at here in these scriptures, this is what we learn about Enoch, and the point that we can grab from is he walked faithfully with God. That's how he pleased God. I'm going to share a funny story with you. It says this. A teenage boy had just gotten his driver's license and inquired of his father as to when they could discuss his use of the car. His father said he'd make him a deal. If you bring your grades up from a C to a B, devote time to study your Bible, and get your hair cut, then we'll talk about the car. The boy thought about that for a moment, decided he'd settle for the offer, and they agreed on it. After about 6 weeks, his father said, "Son, you've brought your grades up, and I've seen you studying your Bible, but I'm a little disappointed you haven't gotten your hair cut." The boy said, "Well, Dad, I've been thinking about that, and as I've noticed in my studies in the Bible, Samson had long hair, John the Baptist had long hair, Moses had long hair, and there's even strong evidence that Jesus had long hair." And then his father replied, "Yep, and they also walked everywhere they went." Now, Enoch lived in a day and age long before automobiles and airplanes or even before chariots or horse carriages. But this isn't the kind of walking that we're talking about here in this scripture, right? The term walk, as it's used in the Bible, is synonymous with a person's way of life. How you walk, in other words, is how you live your life. Do you walk in faith? Or do you walk in doubt? Do you walk in confidence? Or do you walk in fear? There are all different kinds of ways that we can walk in life. And it says here that Enoch walked faithfully with God. He lived his life in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. So what does it look like to walk with God? What does it look like to live a life that's pleasing to God? Well, I think 1 Corinthians 10:31 gives us a good example of what this looks like. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this: "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." It tells us there to glorify God in all that you do. That's everything. I think a lot of times we're really good at separating our church life from our home life or from our work life, right? We've got this life and we've got that life, as if they're two different things. But the reality is they should be one and the same. Whether we're at church, or we're at home, or at work, our life should reflect that of Christ. Enoch, it says, walked with God in a way that was pleasing to God. He glorified God in all that he did, and he did it for 365 years, right? That is why he was considered a man of faith. And both Abel and Enoch are great examples for us of what it looks like to live a life that pleases God. And the thing I think encouraged me, or the thing that I think encourages me the most, is that their life wasn't much different than our lives, right? That they were regular people who were just doing their best to live the life that God had placed before them. It's all about pleasing God with what He's given us, right? Or pleasing God with where He's placed us. I mentioned the parable of the talents last week. And it's about being faithful with the talents that God has given us. So if we're given the one talent instead of the five or the ten, what we do with that one talent is just as important. Hear that. It's as equally as important as what the person with five talents or ten talents does with theirs. You see, our world has this fixation on greatness, right? We got to do bigger and better. We all want to be 10 talent people. Wait, I want 10 talents. I want 10. I want 20. I want 30. We want more. We want more than what God has given us at times. We're envious and we look at other people. We have this fixation on greatness. But here's the thing. We have to be willing to live whatever life God has called us to live. Well, I want to be Moses. I want to be Elijah. I want to be David. Don't we all, right? But who's going to be Abel? Who's going to be Enoch? We have to be who God has called us to be. If you were here last week after worship, I talked about a message I heard Pastor Ron Mell speak 21 years ago at a youth pastors conference. I had that message on cassette tape, and I listened to it in my car again and again and again after that conference. And I mean, for years, I listened to it. It just ran in my car again and again and again. I must have listened to it hundreds of times, and that's not exaggeration. Again, it just played. It was just constantly playing in my car every time I got in my car. Half of my theology is based on those messages that he spoke, two messages he spoke. But the funny thing is, I listened to those messages hundreds of times, and I never knew he was talking about me specifically. Until 11 years later, when my wife played me that message after she had happened to re-listen to it when we planted the church here in Dallas. It was within the first year of planting that church here in Dallas. And I want to play that clip for you this morning. This is a clip of Ron Mell speaking at our 2001 Youth Pastors Conference. Listen to this clip.
This idea, this notion that bigger is really wonderful and good, come and talk to me sometime. I'll tell you about it. You know, I mean, when it comes to ministry, you just settle in your mind right now that when you get to heaven, God's not going to reward fruitfulness. He's going to reward faithfulness. So this notion that getting bigger and better is the key is not in the Bible. Because when you get to heaven, He's going to say, well done, thou good. What are you going to do with the guy that's out pastoring in Dallas, Oregon? What are you going to do with a guy that's pastoring out in Winnetka or Des Moines? Or what are you going to say to these people? Well, you mean you didn't have a church of 15,000? Boy, what were you doing all that time? Well, I was out slugging away down in Amity, Oregon, pastoring my 25 people. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord.
What are you going to do with the pastor in Dallas, Oregon? Who knew he was talking about me in 2001? It's all about faithfulness. God is the one who exalts people, who lifts people up, not us. If He decides to exalt us and use us to change the world, then let's be faithful to be used by Him to change the world, to glorify God. And if He calls us to pastor a church in Dallas, Oregon, then let's be faithful to do it to the glory of the Lord. However many or few that walk through that door. Amen? Because faith is living a life that pleases God. And that's what I want to do, and I hope it's what all of you want to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, and Lord, I thank You for that clip. Something that I had no idea. I listened to it for years and had no idea that You were speaking to me, Lord. And it's that reminder that we are called to be faithful with what you've given us. That we aren't supposed to be focusing on wanting more and doing more, but we're supposed to be focused on what you've given us and to be faithful with what you've given us. That because of our faith, we live lives that are pleasing to you. Because of our faith, we choose to glorify you in all that we do, whether that's with one talent or 10 talents. And so, Lord, we give you this message this morning. I pray that you use it to speak to our hearts, to speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. Have we been focusing on bigger things? Oh, God's got bigger plans for me. And failing to do what you've called us to do right now, right where we're at. Because maybe you do have bigger plans, but it starts with us being faithful with what you've given us. And when we're faithful with the little, then you give more. And so, Lord, we want to be people who are faithful with the lives that you've given us. We want to be people who please you with our lives, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to realize that you created us, who we are, the families that we are a part of. You knew that before the beginning of time. And it's not by mistake that we're in the family that we're in. It's not by mistake that we're in this church or wherever it is that you have us, in the workplace that you have us. Lord, you have a plan for our lives. And may we be people who seek you with all that we are. And because of our faith and belief in who you are, that we begin to live the lives that you've called us to live, Lord. And so we give you these things this morning. May you allow them to speak to each of us where we're at. What is it that you want to speak to us today, Lord? What is it that you want to challenge us in? How do we grow in our faith and be the men and women of God that you've called us to be? How do we be the Abels and the Enochs that you desire us to be, Lord Jesus? And Lord, I pray for those that you are calling to be Abrahams and Moseses and Davids, Lord, that we would just learn to be faithful with the little things so that you can give us the big things. And so we give these things to you. We give this morning to you. We give this word to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.